Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent, Jack Shelley, reporting again from the American First Army on the German frontier. The names you're going to hear in this report are those of Midwestern men of a tank destroyer battalion, which I told you about meeting earlier. They're members of just one company of the battalion, and I met them under especially happy circumstances. For after some 5.5 months of fighting their way across France, Belgium, and a part of Germany, they at last were in a rest area, relaxing from the strain and bitter hardships they've experienced. And they are thinking, too, of the comrades they left behind. For in the many weeks these men have been on the forefront of the advance, there have been casualties, inevitably. There used to be more soldiers from Iowa and the Middle West in this company than there are now, and new replacements have come in from time to time to fill the gaps left by the cost of battle. But I can assure the relatives and friends of the men to be named in this broadcast that when I saw them just the other day, they were safe and well in a small Belgian town. They were well out of range of German artillery fire, the first time they've enjoyed that condition for months. And the calm and quiet of the countryside seemed strange but very, very pleasant to my ears. Lieutenant Donald Prohaska of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, greeted me as I reached the company and promptly introduced me to a number of his men standing around their idle tank destroyers and other vehicles. You get quite a thrill out of meeting veteran combat men such as these when you hear them tell you the names of their hometowns, places so typical of Iowa and the whole Middle West. And it's one of the greatest privileges I've ever known to be able to assure them that through the wonder of radio, I could inform their folks back home that I had seen them safe and well. The very first two men I talked to were Iowans who had been with this tank destroyer outfit since it was formed. One of them was Staff Sergeant Donald Brunko of Brandon, Iowa. Sergeant Brunko used to help his father on their farm near Brandon before he entered the Army. And from this great distance, and after all he's seen, that Iowa farm must certainly look like one of the most wonderful places in the world. The second man was Sergeant Clyde B. Ryan of Millerton, Iowa, who has also followed the tide of the American advance all the way from France to Germany. As we leaned against the tank destroyer and chatted about the welcome rest the company was getting, Sergeant Ryan told me he used to be a truck driver in Millerton before he entered service and became one of the original members of this fighting outfit. Among the cluster of Midwestern soldiers who gathered around me, as the word spread that a correspondent from WHO was paying call, was another man from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He was Staff Sergeant Leo Summit, who, like all the others, was eager to send his greetings to the folks back home. Sergeant Sonic used to work in the bakery in Cedar Rapids, back in those pleasant days before the war called him off to battle in strange lands far from home. The next man I talked to had a bandage on his right hand, and so extended his left one as we greeted each other. He was Sergeant Robert Jordan of Toddville, Iowa. But when I asked him about that right hand, he informed me quickly that it wasn't a wound received in action. He had burned the hand accidentally on a stove the previous night, and it didn't appear to be a serious matter. Sergeant Jordan told me, with justifiable pride, that 7 members of his family are serving the armed forces. Jordan is one of 6 brothers, of whom 2 are in the Navy, 1 in the Air Force, and 3 others in the Army. His brother-in-law is also in the Army, and all of them are from Toddville. The next Midwestern member of this tank destroyer company arrived from Illinois. Sergeant Frank Oldorf of Forest Park. Oldorf holds the Purple Heart for a wound received when the company was fighting in the now ruined German city of Aachen. He'd only recently returned from the hospital and is now a tank commander, having won a battle promotion from private to sergeant. There were more Iowa men from Cedar Rapids in this company than from any other city in the Hawkeye State. Before long, I'd met a pair of brothers from Cedar Rapids. Both Clarence and John Redding are sergeants. Clarence, who'd worked on a farm just before entering the Army, is a security sergeant with the platoon of the company. John Redding is a supply sergeant. He told me his wife is back in Cedar Rapids, and he's certainly looking forward to the day when he can see her again. There was also a man from Wisconsin among the group, and with his name I wind up this present report. Technician 5th grade Eugene Knops of Glenwood City, Wisconsin, told me he's the driver of a tank destroyer. Knops is also a married man. His wife is living in Boyceville, Wisconsin. On another broadcast, I report the names of other Midwestern members of this tank destroyer company to whom I talk. But let me repeat, for the benefit of the relatives and friends of those mentioned in this report, I saw these men in a rest area. They were safe and well, although they were naturally tired, and they most certainly wanted the folks at home to know they were thinking of them. They didn't know how long this rest would last for them, but I can tell you it most certainly is deserved. Their morale is high. They've already done a combat job that's second to none, and the whole Middle West should be proud of them. And I know there's one other thing they want me to say. Don't forget the way you do your job on the home front, too, can play a tremendous part in bringing this ugly business to a close as soon as possible and allowing them to come back to the homes they love. This is Jack Shelley, WHO's war correspondent with the American First Army on the German frontier. I return you to Des Moines. Hello, NBC. That's the end of item number one in this list of two recordings for tonight. Item number two will begin in 15 seconds from now. Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent, Jack Shelley, calling again from the German frontier. It occurred to me that maybe you'd be interested in a brief account of what it sometimes is necessary to do in the way of covering ground to get details for a news story that takes only a few minutes to tell once it's finally assembled for broadcast. It's an example I choose from my own personal experience simply because I know about it best. But the other correspondents here with the American First Army have on all manner of occasions spent more time and what's more have taken great personal risk in getting their stories. In this particular case, I wanted to talk to some of the men of a combat unit that was in the lines in Germany. The first day I started after the story, I drove for hours to reach the battered little village where their command post was located, waded through seas of mud, and found an officer of the unit. But it turned out the only way to reach the men I was looking for was over a road that was under direct German shell fire by daylight, and the officer told me not to try to go up there. I admit I didn't argue with him a bit. He told me instead to come back in a couple of days, early in the morning, and he thought we could get up there then. So, 2 days later, I got up well before dawn, drove the long distance to the little German village in our open jeep through a heavy rain, and got there only to learn the outfit had moved. I did find out where they supposedly had gone, but was told they wouldn't be assembled there until the next day. So the following morning, I started out for the new location, found they weren't there after all, and that nobody around had any idea where they were. And finally, after a couple of hours, I got a tip that led me to a command post about 10 miles away. There, the officer in charge of locating the unit had just gone out to see them. But he came back 2 hours later and took me to the outfit's temporary location. I saw some of the men I wanted to see, but after 15 minutes, it was necessary to break off the conversation. The unit was moving to another spot, and I was invited to come along in my jeep and see the new location. After a lengthy drive, we settled down again, and I talked to others of the men I was looking for. But I also discovered that still others were in an entirely different location, and the only way I could find them was to go to another headquarters many miles away, make further inquiries there, and get the location of another place, where I could find the balance of the information I require for a report that, as I say, will take only a few minutes to read. But all of this difficulty in locating certain people is due to very good reasons of military security and necessity. And if you ask me, a war correspondent could run all over Europe until his boots were worn through and still not be fit to tie the shoelaces of the combat troops who have the real hardships in this war. Furthermore, one of the nice things about looking for persons from the WHO territory over here is that gradually the word spreads that a correspondent from our station is in the neighborhood and people sometimes look you up. For instance, Captain Ted Siegel, the former Des Moines dentist whom I mentioned recently, dropped around the other night with another Iowa man, also connected with the 9th Tactical Air Command. The latter was Lieutenant Paul H. McVeigh of Goldfield, Iowa, who was born in Webster City and whose wife is now staying in Goldfield. Lieutenant McVeigh is an officer of the Medical Administrative Corps, acting as the assistant to a battalion surgeon. The Goldfield man is attached to a signal construction battalion. Lieutenant McVeigh had the rare experience recently of a reunion with a brother over here, the first time the two had seen each other in 4 years. The brother is Captain Bruce McVeigh, who went to high school in Lake City and Sioux City, Iowa, and who now calls Clay Center, Kansas, his hometown. Captain McVeigh is a battalion surgeon with a signal outfit somewhere in Belgium. What's more, these two Iowa natives have a sister, who is an Army nurse stationed in England, and another brother, a captain, at an air base in Topeka, Kansas. And those latter two are also natives of Webster City, back in good old Iowa. It looks as though the McVeigh family is really playing its part in the war. This is Jack Shelley, your war correspondent with the American First Army, returning you from the German frontier to Des Moines. Okay, NBC, that's the last of my two recordings for tonight. Will you please air express them to the newsroom, radio station WHO, Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks a lot. I'd also appreciate a reception report as soon as possible. Good night.